from Luke's gospel, chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf. Kill it and let us eat and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Father God, as we pause on this Sunday morning, as we have sung these praises to you, these praises that are so God-honoring, God, thank you for the messengers in song today who have given so freely back to your kingdom's work of the talents you've entrusted to these young people. God, I pray today as we look at this passage of Scripture, as we look at this, a look of grace. Father, as we realize that today, somewhere in the midst of this sermon, each one of us would find ourselves somewhere nestled within these verses, within these pages, within this field of Scripture, oh God, we can glean today something that we can apply to our lives. Help us, Lord, to have eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart that's opened to your Spirit's leading. In Christ's name we pray, amen. In an interview back in 1973, or actually the interview was later than that, but an interview was given of this person born in 1973 in the state of California. She was born to a very well-to-do family. Her father was a doctor of oncology. Her mother was a writer, an author. And this girl grew up in school there on the West Coast. But in her teenage years, her parents got a divorce. It was a very bitter divorce, and it left deep scars in this teenager's heart. When she was in her 20s, she was given an unpaid chance to be an intern in Washington, D.C. It later turned into a paid position, and this person was basically unknown to the rest of the world until the year of 1998. Then her name became a household word. Most of you have heard her name, Monica Lewinsky. She did some things in her life, some things that she would later regret, some things that were sordid and things that were broadcast around the entire world. This young girl of 20 plus years was not ready for the ridicule and the scorn and the hatred that would be directed to her from various places all over the world. And in the interview that Monica Lewinsky gave, she recounted in that interview that day the guilt and the shame that had been so much a part of her life. In fact, she said the ground completely crumbled in that very moment. I felt so much guilt, and I was terrified. And there was a point for me somewhere in this sordid first several hours where I would be hysterically crying, and then my whole system would just shut down. And she said, in the shutdown period, I remember looking out the window and thinking if there was only a way to fix this, I would just kill myself. I would go and jump out the window. She said, I felt so incredibly terrible. She said, I was scared. I was mortified, and I was afraid of what was going to happen to my family. Monica Lewinsky went on and said that her mother would stay with her at night for fear that she would do something to herself, that she would kill herself because of all of the guilt and all of the shame now that was on her. In fact, Monica Lewinsky said, when I would go in to take a shower, my mother would make me leave the door open so she would make sure that I wasn't going to slit my wrist or do something to myself. She said the shame stuck to me like tire. She tried to move on, and she tried to move out of the country. She tried to start over, but in her own words, she said, I was stuck. I was stuck in shame and guilt. Monica Lewinsky grew up in a Jewish family. Now, I don't know much about her beliefs, but I know this. She experienced incredible guilt and shame. And I'm sure that everyone in here this morning, I am sure that everyone that is listening to this broadcast this morning, I'm confident of the fact that because of human life, because of human errors in life, that I'm sure that if we were honest with each other this morning, that we would all say that somewhere along the way in life, we have been inundated with guilt and shame, and it's a terrible emotion that absolutely gets you completely down. You see, guilt and remorse and shame are all the words that go together. Remorse comes from two Latin words, mordere. It means to bite. And remordere means to bite again and again and again and again. And isn't that what a guilty conscience does? It just keeps on biting day after day after day after day. And it keeps on bringing condemnation in its path. It accuses. It condemns. Now, what happens when you've done something that violates your moral conscience? What is it that causes you and me to feel such tremendous remorse and guilt and shame over what we've done? There are all kinds of things this morning. We could go through all of the laundry list out there. We could write out a litany of all kinds of things that bring about shame and guilt to our lives, some type of sexual immorality, some type of lie that not only hurt us but hurt other people. Maybe it was an abortion. Maybe it was an adulterous extramarital affair. Maybe it was some impropriety in some way that created something for you or for your family, and it violated all of the standards of what you truly believe in your heart and your life. You see, Judas Iscariot would be a prime example in the Bible who engulfed remorse when he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver, and then he regretted what he had done, and he took that 30 pieces of silver back to those chief priests, and he said, I have sinned against innocent blood. And they said to him, what is that to us? See to that yourself. And the Bible, young people, says Judas Iscariot, he went out and he hanged himself. Some people respond to guilt and shame in that fashion. Some people begin to find other avenues with which they're trying to absolutely mask, cover up, deaden the pain of guilt and shame through drugs and alcohol, thinking that that will get rid of their problems. Others turn to burying themselves and becoming workaholics. Some do it through the escape of pornography. There are all kinds of things out there in the world that people do. There's all kinds of things that happen. There's embezzlement issues out there. There's all kinds of Ponzi schemes and scams that are out there. How do you get past these particular things in your life when you know it's Satan's trap? His trap is one to get you into a place where you are stuck and you can't move on in life. Guilt and shame is one of the things that this world is filled with. I have good news for you and for me this morning from God's Word that no matter what you've ever done, no matter what your past is, no matter where you are in your present situation, God wants to free you and me from guilt and shame. The young people led us in that song a few moments ago. I'm free. Hell has lost again. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. And in our text that I just read from Luke's gospel about the prodigal son, it's a story that Jesus told a long time ago. Jesus was a masterful storyteller. He knew how to tell a story to get a point across. And so in Luke chapter 15, he gives three different parables here. And a parable is an earthly story, but it has a heavenly meaning to it. And so as Jesus gives this particular story on this prodigal son that wants what his father has worked so hard to make, but because he feels entitled, he doesn't want to wait till his father dies. He wants it right now. There are three requirements this morning. If you and I are going to break free from guilt and from shame, and I can assure you all over the world this morning, this is a huge, huge issue. It is of gigantic proportions. It's exponentially true all over the world, from this congregation, all over the world, in every congregation, and those that are not in churches today. I can assure you, guilt and shame is something that will absolutely destroy you. It will keep you stuck. It will keep you from enjoying being a child of the King. Jesus said, I have come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. There are three requirements that you've got to be honest about this morning. If you're dealing with guilt, if you're dealing with shame, let me tell you, first of all, what is it that you've done? What is it that you've done? In the narrative of the prodigal son, as Jesus tells the story so succinctly, here's a young man. He's just decided that he wants to go out and live life loosely, experience everything there is out there in life to experience. And so he comes to his father. He asks the request why the father acquiesced to the son's request. We're not given all of that information, but in the story, Jesus says that the Father does what the Son asks. Now, you've got to understand what it was like in that period of time, in that ancient culture of that day, the Middle Eastern, the way they did estates. Two-thirds of the father's estate would have gone to the eldest son, the older of the two boys. The other one would receive one-third. That's just the way it was done in Middle Eastern culture. And so we ask the question, what is it that you've done? Because in the end of the prodigal son, this son comes home. He realizes the error of his way. He realizes what he's done. Now, if you and I are going to be free of the guilt and the shame of whatever we're experiencing in our lives, you've got to take an honest assessment. You've got to look in the mirror. You've got to look and ask yourself, what is it that I have done? I really imagine we wouldn't really have to ask because we would know what we've done. But you have to quit looking at other people and blaming someone else for your own inequities. No one likes looking in the mirror of self and seeing what our problem is. But in the story of the prodigal son here, we see this father, and he divides up the money there, and he gives to this son. Now, this son will go out. He'll live his life with his dad's hard-earned money. Obviously, there'll be a lot of friends because he's got lots of money. And let me tell you, that will garner you up a lot of so-called friends. But let me tell you, when the money's all gone, the old country song says, I'm on the telephone. Let me tell you, when the money's gone, let me tell you, your fair weather friends have left you at that point. This young man, he went into the world, kids. He experienced in his day what would be riotous living, as the King James calls it. The New American Standard said loose living. It just incorporated anything and everything out there that the world represents that he wanted to get involved in. And let me tell you this morning, whatever it is that you have done or I have done in our lives, the disappointments that we have in our lives because maybe we didn't do as well as we thought we could have done. Maybe we squandered our money. Maybe we bought things we did not need to impress people we don't like. Folks, let me tell you, there's a lot of people this morning. They put their money in money markets only to be squandered by some of the Ponzi's of this world. Let me tell you, this morning, people deal with anger, they deal with hatred, they deal with guilt, and they deal with shame. And I dare say that many of the health issues that we experience in life are probably a lot of them brought on by the things that we have hated, the anger that we have let manifest in our hearts and lives, the guilt that we carry for a lifetime, the shame that has been involved in something that went against the moral standards of God's holy word. I want you to know you have to get honest. You have to ask yourself, what is it that I have done that has me stuck, that has me not being able to move on in my life? What is it that you've done this morning that dogs you, that bites you day after day after day after day? Let me tell you, for a long time, Monica Lewinsky didn't want to acknowledge what she did. And let me tell you, there's a lot of folks this morning that will never be better. They will never be free until they honestly take a look at their life and they look at what they've done. Let me tell you, if you're stuck this morning in guilt and shame, you have to look soberly and honestly and truthfully at what you've done. Lies that have hurt others. A sexual lifestyle that the Bible plainly calls sin. Now, culture won't call it that. The 21st century, in a secular worldview, will not call it that. But the Bible calls it that. You may participate in it. You may practice those things. But the Bible still says it's sin. Maybe it's been an abortion from years ago. Maybe it's sex before marriage. Or maybe you're living with someone out of the bonds of marriage. Maybe you're in a marriage relationship, but it's an adulterous relationship out there. Maybe it's something that you've stolen. You see, there are all kinds of things that bring guilt and shame to our lives. Maybe you didn't spend enough time with your kids. Maybe you didn't train them up in the way they should go. Maybe you didn't take them to church. And maybe they have gone astray and now you feel guilty because you did not do for them what you as a parent should have done. You see, there's all kinds of things. Look honestly. Talk soberly to yourself about what it is that you've done. Secondly, this morning, I want you to see if you want to break free from guilt and shame, then you have to ask yourself, what is it that has me stuck that has been done to me? That look you gave me at church the other day. Well, I saw so-and-so in the grocery store and they wouldn't even shake my hand. Well, what is it that somebody did to you when you were a child and you're still holding on to that negative energy in your life? You're still holding on to it. Folks, let me tell you, a lot of people this morning are overwhelmed because of something that was done to them, and they've held on to it, and they've held on to it. Let me tell you, you and I are living in a world that's always been around. It's been around always since the beginning of time. Child abuse, sexual abuse. And now we're seeing where school teachers are going to prison because they've had a sexual encounter with one of their students that's underage. Pictures that are out there that people send. Young people, I would caution you, be careful. When the devil tries to tempt you to send your boyfriend or your girlfriend a nude photo, because that is child pornography and it can get you in trouble, big trouble. Folks, let me tell you this morning, what is it that's been done to you? A parent, a family member, a neighbor, somebody that sexually abused you, and you've held on to that, and you've held it on the inside, and you've held those hatred and those grudges. Folks, let me tell you, that will never rid you of any kind of guilt and shame. What is it that you've held on to? Maybe you have been sexually abused, and you felt that you were the one that was responsible, that created that and caused that, when it was absolutely nothing you did. You were perpetrated on by a perpetrator out there, a child molester, a pedophile. Let me tell you, there's all kinds of things. There's hundreds and thousands of stories that are out there in the world today, just like that. And folks, let me tell you, of course, what does it do? It scars you. Humanly speaking, it's something you never get over. But you have to acknowledge that if you're going to feel free of any guilt or any shame, you have to come to a place of reconciliation. You have to come to the place that you quit blaming everybody. Yes, it happened. Acknowledge that it happened to yourself. Acknowledge that it was wrong, that what someone did to you. But to hold on to it and to carry the burden all of your life. Let me tell you, statistics keep on growing all the time about parents abusing children, some predator who's abused you. And while there are many parents, unfortunately today, that have done those things, or family members that have done those things, folks, let me tell you, you just need to come to a place where you acknowledge it happened in my life. Yes, it will forever be a part of my life that brought scars to my life, whatever the situation is. But let me tell you, after a while, you've got to give it over to Jesus. Amen? You've got to give it over to Him and let Him carry the burden. The prodigal son, he felt guilty. He felt shame. He finally comes to his senses. The money's gone. He's in the pigsty of life. And he said, I'm no longer worthy to be called my father's son. And he began to think about his dad's workers out there in the field and how that they have more than he has. And he decides, he makes a conscious decision. He faces the fact of what he's done, how wrong that he's been. And he begins to drop his pride and he begins to come back to his father. Let me tell you, Jesus tells three stories in Luke chapter 15. The lost sheep is foolishly lost. The lost coin was haphazardly lost. And the lost son here, the prodigal, he's willfully lost. You see, he chose to disrespect his father. He chose to become involved in all of the prostitution of the world and all of the partying out there in the world. Let me tell you this morning, if you're going to break free, you have to make a departure from the pigsty of life, whatever that pigsty is. And the prodigal had spent all on loose living. Let me tell you, sin is pleasurable. If somebody tells you sin's not pleasurable, they don't know what they're talking about. But let me tell you, somebody said the devil's too smart to go fishing without any bait on his hook. And let me tell you, whatever it is that he throws your way that you eventually take hold of, let me tell you, he knows exactly how to steal your joy. He knows exactly how to make you feel inundated with guilt and with shame. And when this young man in chapter 15, when he decided, after he was down and out and at his wit's end, he started toward home. He had already rehearsed what he was going to say to his dad. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. Let me tell you, what did he do? He got honest with himself. He repented and he did something about it. He got up out of the pigsty that he was trapped in, that he had been sucked up in, and he begins to make his way back home. He begins to turn around, to make a turnaround and head in the right direction. Let me tell you, a lot of people this morning are trapped in the pigsty of life. They feel unworthy. They feel that they could never be forgiven in their life. Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Let me tell you, if it's an immoral life that you have to repent and turn around, let me tell you, no one can get right with God without true repentance. You see, it's a repentant heart. It's a departure from the pigsty that you're stuck in. And let me tell you, then you make the choice of standing biblically on the truth of God and His Word. Here's our problem. When it comes to truth and error, truth and lies, it's much easier to believe lies, and the devil is the father of lies, the Bible says. And when you and I sin, we do something that violates our conscience and that violates the commands of God here in the Bible. Let me tell you, the devil comes and the devil stands off in the corner and the devil laughs. And the devil leaves in your wake and my wake shame and guilt, because Satan is an accuser of the brethren. The prodigal son, he had been involved with all of the smorgasbord of life that anybody could ever want to experience that were ungodly things, very sordid things in his life. But I want you to know God knew the struggles of the prodigal son. God knows what you're going through this morning. God knows what you're dealing with this morning. God knows the problems that each of us have created in all of our lives that have created this stuckness, that has created this pigsty that we are living in. Let me tell you, The devil will lie to you. The devil will tell you that God doesn't love you anymore. The devil will tell you that God can't forgive you. God will forgive anyone who is willing to repent of what's going on in their life. There's a last thing here that I want to talk about in a minute. Let me tell you, what is it that makes you not forgive yourself? What is it that's going on that makes you not forgive yourself? Stephen Curtis Chapman, the songwriter, tells about his family. He had 6 kids. 3 of them were adopted from China. He had a little 5-year-old adopted girl, a little Chinese girl. She was 5 years old. She was out playing in the yard. Stephen Curtis Chapman's son, Will Franklin Chapman, he was a teenager, young people, 17 years of age. He was driving down the road back to home, and he was driving into the driveway, and little Maria, his little 5-year-old sister, saw him, and she went running out to meet him. He didn't see her. He ran over her that day. 911 was called. They came. The ambulance picked her up. Stephen Curtis Chapman got behind the ambulance to follow them into the hospital there in Tennessee. Stephen Curtis Chapman tells in his testimony that he rolled down his windows. He was driving out of his driveway, and he yelled to his son, Franklin, and he said, "Will Franklin, your father loves you. Your father loves you." Stephen Curtis Chapman said, "As I saw my son out there heaped over in the yard from the guilt that he felt," Stephen Curtis Chapman said, "I thought that day I was going to lose him as well." Let me tell you, if you want to break free from guilt, from shame, take a long look in the mirror of life and see what it's you've done that is causing you to stay stuck in this pigsty of shame and guilt. Secondly, look at your situation and ask you, is it something else that someone else has done that has caused me to be this way? And then thirdly and lastly, forgive yourself. What is it that makes you not forgive yourself? You see, God will forgive you. God will forgive when we ask for forgiveness. The real problem is we can't forgive ourselves. How many people this morning are dealing with issues? "I can't forgive myself. Oh, if I would have. If I would have just said. If I would have just done. Oh, if I just had one more minute. If I had one more day to spend with you. Oh, if I would have just done this. If I would have just done that." You know, if every one of us lived our lives every day with this in mind, this could be my last day. So I want it to count. I want to treat everybody right. I want to do everything that I can for anyone that I can while I still can. You see, there's millions and thousands of regret. Let me ask you a question. How do you think Simon Peter felt when he said, "Lord, we'll even go with you to the cross. I'll go with you to the cross." And Jesus basically said, "Simon, back up. Back up just a minute. Simon, you're going to deny me 3 times before the rooster ever crows." Peter did the very thing Jesus said he would do. And after he denied Jesus 3 times, Peter wept bitterly over what he had done in denying Christ. Let me tell you, the Apostle Paul himself said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Let me tell you, Jesus forgave the Apostle Paul of all of his sins. Jesus forgave Peter of all of his sins. Let me tell you, Peter thought that he had flunked out on the test of life. And I can feel pretty confident this morning that there are many in here that feel like you've failed the test of life. Let me tell you, The Bible says, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let me tell you, the prodigal son said, I'm going to go to my dad. I'm going back to my father. I've got to drop all the pride. I've got to own up to the fact that I've wasted what he worked for, long hours. But let me tell you, when he started coming down the road that day, his father was already out in the road, looking down the road. Can you only imagine? The father was there every single day. That boy had been away, looking to see if he had come to himself. And let me tell you, just as that father was standing there at the road looking for the wayward son to come home, Jesus stands with open arms this morning to welcome you and me back to his fold. Let me tell you, guys, I'm the preacher. I'm human. I've got 1,000 faults. And God knows every one of them. I know every one of them. But I want you to know there's a heavenly Father who looked beyond my fault and saw my need. And let me tell you, He'll look beyond your fault. He'll see your need. And let me tell you, He and He alone can rid you of whatever it is that you've packed up in your backpack and have carried through life. Will you surrender to Him today and say, Father, I've sinned against heaven and earth. I'm not worthy to be called one of your children, but because of your forgiveness to me, I forgive myself. Lord, take the shame, take the guilt from me, and help me to live a free, abundant life in you. Would you stand as we pray together? Father God, as we have delivered these words today to all of us, God, may we be reminded of how true it is that so many of us are stuck in life. We're just treading water. We're not getting on with life. We're not moving forward. And whatever the situation is, oh God, and there's life crises out there that absolutely cripple us, that suck the very life out of us. Somewhere in the midst of all of that, oh God, send a spark of hope. Father, with our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, no one looking about, I pray that we could all just stand honestly, humbly, looking in to the mirror. Say, oh God, help me. Help me where I am on this journey called life, where I'm off path. I just don't feel what I once felt. Lord, I just question every single thing that comes my way and happens in life. And I know that in this life we don't have those answers, nor will we. But God, give me the grace. Just as the prodigal son saw his father and saw a look of grace, that you stand, oh God, with open arms, a look of grace with a smile on your face to receive us back to you. God, help us to be able to forgive ourselves for what it is that troubles us. God, help us from this day forward to live the abundant life in Christ.
Father, if there's someone here this morning that needs to come and receive you as their Savior, may they come today by repenting and asking you to come into their heart and life. Father, someone needs to join this church today. Speak to them. People need to come to these aisles and pray. Help them, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.